Welcome to the Undressing Room Podcast, presented by Macy's. Baby, this week it's going down. Everybody is talking. Talk show hosts are talking. They're revealing their worst guests ever. I didn't know that you as a celebrity could talk about another celebrity, but I cannot wait to undress that. Plus, hide your grandmas, hide the elderly. I'm telling you, seniors are spending $139 million on romance scams. Yes,
no.
Get your single grandmas out there because they might be over here playing with a pension.
Come on,
Anna. Venture capitalist says that dads are losers for taking paternity leave. Now, I don't know, but there's some name calling going on out here. L'Oreal, what else is going on?
Well, listen, we're going to talk about Drake and how he used to rent a Rolls Royce just to keep up an appearance, going broke and everything, child. Now, also, there's a mother out there. She has an OnlyFans page, and it got her banned from volunteering at a kid's school, being fresh out here, nasty. And for our final question to address, this is a mess, man. This happened. I don't have a man.
Okay, so see, what you're doing right now is just what Jay Ellis did on a podcast a little while ago. That's exactly what Jay Ellis did.
Yeah!
You, you getting us, you give me real Lawrence right now.
L'Oreal Hive.
You just did it real hard. Three times. I don't handle man. I don't handle man. See?
Yeah, man. Oh. It's going down. So make sure you listen to hear how we undress this total mess, because it's a total mess right here on the Undressing Room Podcast, brought to you by our favorite, Macy's.
Macy's. Well, speaking of Macy's, Black Friday is coming up starting on Thursday, November the 11th. You can shop tons of Macy's Black Friday specials early. That's right. I said early. And you can go ahead and get a preview of amazing deals that'll be dropping ahead of time. So, yes, you can strategize your wallet, your budget, your coins, figure out what you want, how much it is, what the sale is looking like, and then go out there and get it. So why shop early? If this year is anything like last year's, those specials are going to get snatched up quick. Shop early. Mm-hmm. So beat the rush. Go in there and get what you need to get. Plus, Macy's app just got a makeover, didn't they, L'Oreal?
Yes, they did. You can take your shopping to a whole nother level on the Macy's app now. It got a totally fresh new look. It ain't the old one that you remember. Mm-hmm. You can get started with a style quiz. That's how you're going to get your outfit recommendations, which is perfect.
Tailored
just for you. That's hard because, you know, sometimes you be like, I don't know what to wear. Well, guess what, sis? And bro, they're going to help you out there to choose your favorites to keep a running list of the looks that get you inspired. So it kind of sets up like a little, they learn your style.
Like a
after.
Closet.
You get what I'm saying? It's like a closet. Look at you. It's a closet.
Through Macy's for the closet on that
you
app.
You get what I'm saying? You can stay on top of online orders and returns, especially with shipping and how things are going nowadays.
Yes.
You want to make sure you can do that. You can take advantage of price checking feature and updated store maps. So the next time you swing by, you can walk right in the store, go to the department you need, an updated list so you don't have no problems. Plus, Star Reward members, they always get a special feature or they get bonuses or whatever the case. And this time, it's going to be Star Money updates and exclusive savings sent right to your phone. All you got to do is download on iOS for Android or, you know, the App Store.
It's Android friendly, too, so you can get on any smartphone.
Look at that. So even if it's green when you text people, you can still get this deal, too, because you need a deal with that Android.
Listen, the chill is in the air and it has no chill. It's not just you, but it's definitely getting colder out here. So now it's about the time you go ahead and get your L'Oreal New York swag on. Layering up with the great deals. Listen, it's perfect for the cold weather. You can accessorize from Macy's. They have every single thing you need to stay cozy and on trend because you want to be comfortable and fly at the same time. And Macy's has you ready for the holiday season and beyond. The warmest cashmere ever. The cutest prints. Yes. Mm-hmm. Gift sets that make your stocking stuffers amazing. They have that. And like L'Oreal said, if you are a Star Rewards member, which I am. You will earn rewards on every single purchase except for gift cards and services and fees. You know, the normal stuff.
You gotta pay for something. That's regular.
Exactly. Now, let me tell you what's not regular, L'Oreal. What? Is people talking about what happens behind the scenes. So being a host, as you know, the host of Morning Hustle, I'm over here on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. Sometimes the guests can be, you know,
nasty,
not necessarily at their best. We could, let's just say they might be having a bad day or be a little bit unpleasant, but we still got to get our job done, right? So TooFab.com just did a roundup of the worst guests according to some of the top talk show personalities. So we all love him, Mr. Andy Cohen himself from Bravo, Watch What Happens Live. Yes. He went ahead and name dropped, and he said the worst guest he's ever had was the one and only our girl, Amber Rose. Said she did
really?
Not answer any of his shady questions. She turned to me and she goes, am I a horrible guest? That's what she asked him. And I go, you are in the running of one of the worst guests I've ever had.
No.
Yes. Now, James Corden said that Rick Ross was the worst guest that he's ever had.
Really?
James is used to playing fun games with his guests, and the games are usually approved. Now, there was a game that he was supposed to play with Rick Ross, right? And the game was approved by his people. Now, when it came down to playing a game, Rick Ross was like, no.
What was the game? Rick Ross, he be singing with me on the carpet and everything.
He went to the potty. Yeah, but he, I mean, damn, L'Oreal, look at you.
Well, I don't know because, listen, one time on lip service, he went in on Stephanie Santiago. So, and they had a little tiff. But the crazy thing was, I've interviewed him numerous times. Mm-hmm. He's always amazing. He's one of my best interviews.
But maybe he wasn't feeling it because, I mean, like I said, sometimes it just the guests could be having a bad day. So host Graham Norton and Jimmy Fallon.
It's more, girl.
I'm telling you, the celebs are name dropping. I can't. It's not even a book. This is crazy. So these two hosts, Graham Norton and Jimmy Fallon, both said that they had the same horrible guest. They both said Robert De Niro is the worst guest.
Nah,
ever.
Just because he got a black wife.
Listen, it ain't got nothing to do with his ultra being petty. Apparently, his responses are very short. He only gives one word responses, like, yep, nope. And you know those, Lo. You can't tell me. You look back on all the people. I mean, you just got off with Silk Sonic. This is what you do. Can't tell me that there has been one person you've interviewed that has given you a very difficult time. Like, bruh, can we just get through the interview?
Yeah, I won't interview them no more. That's the difference between me and everybody else. And I have a petty limit. So with me, and it's so funny because I've been recently seeing him a lot and people try to introduce us, but I won't speak to him. And it's the crazy thing is it wasn't even that serious. I'll say it, it's Jacquees. And I don't think he's the king of no damn R&B or anything. But the whole thing was the week that I spoke to him, I guess he was having a bad week because everybody else seems to have a great experience with him. And even being like, I was around him at Wale's dinner the other day. He seemed nice, but I just don't, I prefer not to talk to him. I did an interview and he was at odds with another artist at the time. It was public. It was on the blogs. It was everywhere.
So you
and
asked
him
about it. I know you did.
And he
got nasty.
Like, instead of him just saying, like, I don't want to talk about it, it was kind of like a, we're here to talk about me. Like, he got nasty with me. And I'm like, okay, he clearly doesn't know who he's talking to and he won't be talking to me ever again.
Okay, because so question.
What's up?
Did he have a do not ask these questions list? Because they sometimes they have that.
No, now, if your publicist didn't do what they were supposed to do, or your label didn't do what they were supposed to do, then that's your problem. But I didn't. I didn't get that. One, I don't like those lists. If you're going to give me those, don't bring the artist to me. But
no, they have them. See, we had Pastor Gray on, and we had this list of stuff not to ask. And I'm
he's a pastor, John Gray.
I'm going to ask these questions.
But he got caught out there with all the cheating scandals. And
I'm asking.
So this is what my thing is, right?
Okay.
If you want to interview the person that bad that you're willing to disregard some of these questions. I did that with Meg Thee Stallion. Her label was very, very tight on what we can ask her. And at first it aggravated me, but I figured it out. and I was able to do it without whatever. But exactly. I do respect that a bit more than you not saying, oh, I'm an open book. And then when I do ask you the question, you're like, don't ask me that. I don't want to. Also, Big Sean, he's another one who doesn't really like to answer like things about his relationship or things of that nature. But he does it in a more
tactful way.
A way where I didn't feel away. Whereas
yeah.
Trey Songz does it in a way where I feel away. You know
okay,
what
so
I mean?
Tell and me about like, the Trey Songz interview. Oh, I'm all in your business, girl.
Yeah, well, with Trey Songz, he damn near tried to, I don't know who he thought was who or what and when, but I'm like, bro, I've been around you numerous times. He called his label on me, which you're crazy because it's Atlantic and it's Kaiser. And I'm like, that's my friend. Like, Michael Kaiser is a good friend of
mine.
So he called me and he was like, what did you do to my artist? Like, Trey Songz hung up on us and everything. But my thing about Trey Songz is you'll put your OnlyFans out, all your business out there. You talk about it in a song. And then when I ask you about someone you're dating or Keke Palmer, whatever the situation, he got a little nasty with me.
That,
you know
that
what I mean?
Was a juicy little situation.
Yeah,
though.
But it was something that was out there, and at that point, you should know how to address things like that. Like, you've been in this game so long that how can little the girl Lele give me a better response? And she's 12 than you, who's
her,
been
her
in the game.
Taught her well,
but you've been in the game 12
right.
years. Get media training.
Right.
Like,
but I'm just saying, sometimes you have a bad day. Sometimes it, like, I mean, I remember my first interview, my first reunion, which is like a huge interview for Housewives. Girl,
right.
I was pregnant and I was going into labor. So
well, I'm pretty sure Jacquees or Trey Songz wasn't pregnant.
I'm just saying, sometimes you would be gassy or you might have a hard night last night and you still got to go on with the day. But, you know, would you think these talk show hosts were petty for telling about their guests? Because, I mean, would you
no.
want to go on their show? I would be scared to go to places if I know that you would tell what's not supposed to be told.
Well, don't be nasty. You know that
Facts.
You're coming here to do an interview.
Facts.
And when you're coming to do an interview, you're 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, coming to promote something that you have. What are you
Facts.
Being nasty to me for? You're using my platform to promote your bull. So
think about it. Andy Cohen said that Amber Rose was her worst guest because she would not answer the shady question. So that, I mean, because I won't be negative.
Shady. Well, Andy is shady.
Exactly.
Like,
so what I'm saying, so to call her the worst guest because she did not, she chose to come on there and talk about her slut walk, which is most likely what she was promoting, and not sit here and talk about, because I remember he said something about Kanye. It was just like I'm not doing that.
See, I do think when you go back too far too, then sometimes you gotta. So sometimes I ask questions, Eva, that
okay.
I know are on the fence. Now, when I ask these questions, if the person gets a little snooty with me, then I expect it because I knew that it was something that I was going to press their buttons on. But here's the thing. You have to be professional as the talent and you have to jump back into that interview without any hard feelings. If
Absolutely.
You can't do that, then I have a bad interview and now I have a problem with you, like hanging up the phone or doing things of that nature. Pass on the question and be professional because you are still trying to use our platform to promote your stuff. And even though use this interview, it's like there's so many artists, there's so many actors, there's so many, unless like,
well, it's a community. It's a village. Like you can't see us on TV unless the cameraman is there. So everybody matters, from the host to the talent, to the execs.
And
to
the questions
producers.
Could be worse because we know everything. And that's what they don't understand. Like you could, and I'm on air every day, so I can say worse stuff than this. So let's just try to figure out this question.
Keep
and
it
then
cute
we'll
or put
on.
It on mute. That's my motto. Keep it cute or put it on mute. Very
have your label call after, but don't make the person and be like, take that out. But I just feel like to make people uncomfortable during an interview when they're trying to help you promote your stuff doesn't make sense. And it seems like a scam, just like these grandparents are out here getting scammed, Eva.
Who grandma getting scammed?
Not my grandma, because my grandma no longer with us. I love you, Nana.
All my grandparents are in the glory. They watching us right now.
Yeah, same. So they all watching us together. So we going to talk about other people, grandparents.
Grandma,
child.
All right, let's go.
Check on your single grandma and grandpa, y'all, because apparently in 2019, American seniors lost 84 million in online dating scams. And in 2020,
what?
You're not going to believe this. In 2020, the number went up all the way to 139 million. That's almost double. So the pandemic plays a part in this, as people are less likely to be able to see each other. So seniors that are lonely, they tend to look online for companionship. And, you know, they're seemingly easy targets because you could tug at their heart or whatever the case. Now, usually the scams that the person does on the other end is claiming to need financial help due to COVID. So it's like basically pulling the strings, tugging their hearts. But these scammers accept money through bank transfers, direct payments, and cryptocurrency. So it's making it easier for them to be able, like the cash apps and things of that nature, makes it easier. Because, you know, back in the day, you used to have to go to the bank and take the money out and all that.
It is not uncommon to try to scam and swindle these seniors. I got a story. When my husband was running for mayor, I remember we were at a senior's home by the colleges, and we were talking to the constituents there that were registered to vote and basically telling them his platform. And we did it in the middle of like their rec time. So like, I guess once a day or once a week, they had like this meeting where all the seniors that lived in the home would come into like the little common area. Okay. And before, and it's like a whole program, it's like a list of things. So before Mike spoke, there was this woman that goes to all the senior homes and she talks to them about scams that are most likely coming down the pipeline from their mailbox to their cell phones, from their grandson needs money in college to, you know, a family member overseas that needs money. So it is really, really common that they spend a lot of time and energy to swindle our elderly by making them feel bad for us, like trying to do right. It's so wrong. It's so wrong.
And because they're not privy to a lot of the things that are going on. I feel like not even just old people. This is happening to people that are just lonely. You know what I mean? Or like need someone to talk to. Because first of all, I'm not even answering a number that I don't know. But they don't realize
how. The party line? Like they don't have a seniors party line.
Oh, you might be on to something. Hold on now. But that's probably be easier to get them together to scam them. Now, majority of the seniors who get scammed are online dating. And they're 60 and 79 years old. According to the FTC, seniors under the age of 80 reported a median loss of $308, while seniors who are 80 and older reported a median loss of $798. Now, the overall total for romance scams was $304 million. And it wasn't all seniors. And you know what? I see a lot of this because I watch 90 Day Fiancé. And on 90 Day Fiancé, you would be so. And at first I thought, I don't know why when I thought 90 Day Fiancé, I'm thinking of like those locked up abroad kind of shows where it's like, oh, they're putting them together. I thought it was a game show or something.
No.
But when I sat down, I'm like, oh, these people are really dating somebody online, giving them their money, giving them their letting them in their homes, bringing them around there, letting their kids take the guardianship. All kind of stuff, all because of their mouthpiece and what they're saying to them over the phone, over FaceTime, spending all their money. So this, people don't just tug at old people. They tug at the emotions and the lack of somebody having somebody there for them. And they make it seem like they love them and they're caring about
them. Do you think that these companies, like the dating companies and these different apps, bear some kind of responsibility there? Not saying that they are responsible for someone lying, but I mean, there has to be some kind of safeguard or something that's put up to where, you know how like at a company, if you say certain things in your email, it'll flag the email because certain things, like, I mean, there has to be something that is responsible by the corporation so that when you know that this amount of money is being taken from our elderly people, like, come on, bro.
But where does this stop? Because again, like this is happening to moms of five. That's just like, I need a husband or somebody to help me take care of these kids.
They do it on Instagram. If you go on your Instagram and you put up a picture right now, I can go to your last post and go to the bottom. Someone will say that I'm a winner to DM them, that they'll send me quick cash.
Like, they ask me for my Cash App tag every day. Literally 9 people in DMs. This is that and the third. Or give me $100 and you'll make. But some people did it. Remember that one scam that was like you put in $100 and then you would get $1,000, but you had to keep putting in $100.
Yeah, well, see,
I argued with my whole family behind that. What was that called? The lottery. They kept
calling
it. No,
they do it. They do it. We call it something out west, but I don't want to say it on the airs, but it's called a savings account. So basically the idea is where you put $100 in today and you put $100 in for each week, however long many week it is. And then on that last week, you get the whole pot. So it's basically,
you want to hear something crazy? I know somebody that's literally done this so big that now they have an indictment against them. And when my friend first told me about it, yes, he was like, listen, I got this amount of money. I was like, that's a scam. He was like, no, it's not. And was arguing with me. My mother, same thing. My sisters, they were arguing with me. And now these people are about to go to jail.
The idea is that we do it. So it would be like me, you, Angie, Ange, Headcrack, and Ricky, right?
Right.
So it's the five of us. So on the fifth week, you would get $500. And each week you put in $100. So that is basically so that for 4 weeks, you saved your money.
So where are the people getting stealing? Because
they never paid it out. You do it amongst. So the idea is that you do it amongst people that you know. Like, you know good and well, I'm going to pay you out. So that's what it is. But
these people
are
getting $30,000 at a time, the people I'm talking about.
What?
Yeah, so it scams all of, and these is young people. Like, so you just got to be careful. Make sure if you know anybody that lives alone that's elderly. I had to stop my mother one time. And my mother is she has her damn master's, her doctorate, and somebody called her phone and said that they were the courts and that she didn't go to jury duty and that if she didn't send $500, they were sending the police to come arrest her and take her to jail right away. My mother is an ex-police officer. She retired.
But people believe it. It happened to me, Royale.
I was yelling at her. She was arguing with me, Eva. She was taking the person's side on the phone.
That's why this topic is so important, because we don't realize that we are literally sitting in the crossfire. I had someone call my phone, said that it was a Social Security Administration or something, and I hadn't paid something. I was stressed out. Mike was like, the Social Security office will never call your cell phone, babe. I didn't know, though. Like, I needed someone to tell me. So saying all this to say, take care of your elderly or even just your naive friends or me, because there are people out here trying to take advantage.
So, L'Oreal, I want to talk about layering. And no, I don't mean fashion and clothes. I want to talk about layering your skincare the Olay way. Ooh. Now, do you layer your skincare products?
I do layer my skincare products, and Olay makes that easy by providing products for just about all your skin concerns. Now, this is from cleansers to serums to moisturizers. Eva, let me ask you a question. How do you layer?
First, I cleanse.
Okay.
Then I treat, which is usually like with a toner, and then I moisturize. So for cleansing, you want to wash your hands first, okay? Then you pick up some Olay Vitamin C Plus Peptide 24 Hours Exfoliating Facial Cleanser.
I love a good exfoliator. It's super important.
Exactly. It's so important. Okay, so next, it's time to treat. Now, you always need to use an eye cream, as
always.
It is the first place your skin ages, since your skin is different around the eye.
Right.
So you must make sure you put on an eye cream, right?
Exactly.
So after you treat, it's time to do, what do you think the next one is?
I'm going to tell you what I do. I moisturize next.
Boom.
Yes. Okay, so choose a great everyday moisturizer. You can't just do any old thing. You know, our go-to moisturizer is Olay's Vitamin C Plus Peptide 24, the orange jar.
You know, the orange jar.
Yeah, the one that smells like citrus. You know, we've been talking about and ranting and raving. It feels so good on my skin. I love it. It leaves my skin hydrated all day. It just blends right in.
The Olay Vitamin C Plus Peptide hydrates better than the $400 cream. Now, one key tip that you need to remember is when you moisturize, always go lightest weight to heavy.
See, I didn't know that. You just put me on. So that means like serum first and then the facial moisturizer?
Girl, if you ain't the quickest study I've ever done, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm trying out the Olay Collagen Peptide 24 Serum so I can put that underneath my moisturizer. So
I absolutely love this serum because it visibly firms skin in just 2 weeks. Now, that is a very short time. Layering is also helpful, too, for hydration. And this serum gives you a full 24 hours of hydration alone. Now, imagine how good that feels coupled with your moisturizer, too. Okay?
And don't forget, our melanated skin needs sunscreen, too, because some people seem to think, well, you know, my skin, I don't need sunscreen. I could just go out just like this. No, sis.
No.
Get that sunscreen on. The most important step is to use the SPF.
Now, you can get the Olay Regenerous Mineral Sunscreen and Hydrating Moisturizer SPF 30 that has 30 on it. That's right. It quickly absorbs into all skin types and doesn't leave that greasy residue.
And that's my favorite part because I hate when it's all caked up on your face. Feel like your face and your skin isn't breathing. But this does not do that at all. I love this product.
It's amazing. And the thing is like I said, our melanated skin, I know we think because it's beautiful that we don't need SPF, but we do because we have to protect this skin. The truth is, not all sunscreen goes on easy. So this is literally like a diamond in the rough because goes on no residual. I don't feel chalky. It's everything.
If you're not up on it, you don't know where to get it from. We got to put them on to where to get it from.
Okay, so just in case you don't know, which means, yeah, have not been listening
at all.
These products are available at retailers nationwide.
That's everywhere. That's everywhere. That means here, there, over there, across the street.
And if you don't want to go to a retailer, do what L'Oreal does.
It's so easy. All you got to do is go to Olay.com. Get your phone out, get your computer out. It's simple. It'll come right to your door, and nothing can be easier than that.
There you go.
Now, there's a venture capitalist out there that is not here for dads taking advantage. He actually says that dads are losers for taking paternity leave.
Now, not losers.
Yes. A venture capitalist co-founder, Joe Lonsdale, started a debate on social media when he responded to a tweet about the U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who took off of work. And I know everyone saw it. He took off of work because his wife had twins. And so he decided to help his wife with the first few weeks. Well, he said that any man in an important position that takes off 6 months of leave for a newborn is a loser.
What?
In the old days, men had babies and worked harder to provide for their future. That's the correct masculine response.
No.
Now, let's be clear, Buttigieg did not take off 6 months. He took off 2 months. We weren't talking about a child. We were talking about two children. And Serena Williams' husband, the Reddit co-founder, Alexis Ohanian, you know, remember him?
Of course.
Well, he responded and made it very clear that he is very much so a man, and he proudly took his full paternity leave. Now, people didn't even know there was paternity leave, but many companies are now offering paternity leave for about 6 to 8 weeks. And one mom recently stirred up social media complaining that her husband refuses to take his leave to not inconvenience his employers, amongst other issues, maybe being called not a whole man because he took paternity leave. Now,
yeah, how could you think you're a whole man for helping your wife for her babies? What kind of man are you?
When I tell you, Mike Sterling, when each of my children decided that after I gave birth, and I didn't even realize this till more recently, Mike didn't ask me to lift a finger for 9 months because he said, you sacrificed everything to take care of yourself and your body for our baby. So the least I can do is for 9 months not ask you for anything. He brought groceries, made sure dinner was prepared, picked the kids up, took them to school, got them dressed, bathed, doctor's appointment, immunization, everything. And guess what? Never even took a paternity leave. He just did it and figured out how to do it. So to think that a man's investment into a newborn child at home is not required or expected is absolutely asinine. And Mr. Venture Capitalist, get your stuff together. And I feel sorry for your wife.
You know why he's saying that? Nah, because he can afford the nannies. He can afford all those people to help his wife and do the things that he didn't want to do. And she probably didn't want to have a kid either. She probably just with him because he had a couple dollars. So she ready to get the child to a nanny
that
as well.
Part. Think about Nicki Minaj, like for the Met Gala. And everyone was like, you know, she didn't come. She ended up not accepting her invitation to the Met Gala. And she's like, I am a new mom and there is COVID and I'm not comfortable with nannies yet. Cardi B said, and when she had her first child, she wasn't comfortable. Sometimes it's not about the money or access you have. Being a parent requires a different level and version of who you are. It's the best version that sometimes you're growing into. So, I mean, if I want to stay home with my child and it has nothing to do with being able to afford a nanny or not, Mike doesn't want people picking his kids up from school. We could have someone pick them up. He likes to see his kids' face.
Some of these
when
people don't care, Eva. These are the same people making the laws and rules that even if you get raped, you can't have an abortion. Like, you know what I mean?
That's things crazy.
But it's so, these people are like cold-hearted. They don't think about things in that nature. So I'm not surprised that there are some people that feel this way about it. But I do think a man should be right there by his woman's side, helping her, because that has to be the most painful, hardest thing. And a lot of people go through
the closest thing to death
and all kind of things of that nature. It's like she needs some sleep. She needs help. She's in pain. Like he should be there for his wife or
it's just so cavemanish
woman like, or whatever it is.
Right. It's just so cavemanish, the idea of man law.
You now, have baby, me go right. work.
For a joke and for a skit, got it, whatever. Y'all like SNL. We like little parodies on our morning shows. But in truth, the reality is like everything that I can do, you can do, except for actually carrying these children. So you can make a bottle. You can clean a diaper. You can go to the grocery store. You can prepare and plan dinner.
Superman. All right, you're listening to the Undressed and Real podcast presented by Macy's. Check out our personal Macy's shopping page at macy's.com/theundressingroom so you can dress like us, find out what we got going on, and get all the fly stuff. And we're going to talk about being fly because Drake talked about how
he's back in the news.
Listen, he's always in the news, girl, ain't he? Ain't he all we talk about? He fine, though,
last
so it's
week.
Okay. I still like Drake, but he rented a Rolls Royce to keep up with his appearances back in the day. Now, there was a video with the caption, back in 2007, we used to finesse this Rolls Royce rental company to convince them in the city we were destined to make it. I used to scrape together $5,000 a month to keep an appearance up. He's not telling you to go out and stunt, he said, even though I don't recommend doing this for yourself and financial trouble for material things. I realize now that that was just my way of extreme manifesting. I needed to see it and feel it and to have it to believe it that I could see and feel and have anything I wanted. Now, his close friend Future, not the same Future you're talking about, that we be talking about, Future the Prince is his friend. He tracked down and gifted him that very same Rolls Royce that he used to rent and ride around with.
That's
fire.
That's dope.
That's fire. Because he made him all kind of money over these years. You know, like Future is his partner. Like they make a lot of money together. And he went and got the car for him. He said he used this as a moment to share how he manifested his current life. Now, have you done anything early in your journey to keep up an appearance? And do you believe in manifestation?
Oh, absolutely. So I used to have a saying, fake it until you make it. Mm-hmm. And what I meant by that is my confidence when I will go to my go-sees. So I most likely woke up this morning not believing in truth that I was the most beautiful person or even worthy for all that I sought out for. But I kept telling myself that I was. And I kept telling myself that I was. And I said it so much that then I actually believed it. And then I started doing things to manifest that as a reality. So early in my career, and even now, you know, when I look up and I see certain heights and things and places that I'm at, it's shocking because I know what I wanted, but then I also know how far away I was from it. So to see it tangible and obtainable, there's something about him and Drake talking about manifesting what was supposed to be yours. I don't encourage spending $5,000 on a lease, a rental for nothing, not even an apartment, let alone a car. But I think the bigger message and moral from that is that what God has for you, get ready for it. Manifest it. It's okay. Work for it. Whatever it takes. Don't worry about what the world has to say and figure out what that thing is because you deserve it. And not only that, you can actually get it. And that's the gem.
And I've definitely have to say, I didn't see anything wrong with what Drake was doing. I feel like I saw a lot of rappers do that coming up. I remember French Montana was somebody that I knew before he was really, really on. He had the DVDs. They used to call him Frenchie. And one thing that you knew about French Montana is he had a Bentley. I didn't know one song he had. I didn't know he had no shows. Right. But you like, oh, Frenchie with the Bentley. Like, you knew, like, just certain artists. I feel like that was a big New York thing. They all had the Bentleys. And that's how you knew, like, oh, okay, oh, he doing something. And they probably wasn't. But we saw the cards, and that's what we
It's something about rap where material things that equals
signify success
is what we we rapped about those, or they, you know, that's what we hear in our music. And so, as a rapper that's talking about the grind, the growing up, the glowing up, there's something in that to where when you're seen, you want to shine and you want to be seen glitzing and glamoring and all of that.
And that's why I do like where the game, like, I know a lot of people talk about the negative of rap and hip hop and how it has went downhill. But the positive is that you have people like Rick Ross, you have people like Chance the Rapper who have businesses like Kanye West, who like Rick Jay-Z. Ross is talking about. When, of course, Jay-Z is the blueprint, you know, but you have
Nas
who invests in all these different companies from Sweet Chicks to got Wingstop with Rick Ross. It's dope. How you're putting out there the generational wealth and to build and upbuild our people, buy these businesses to accumulate and put money into things like Kobe Bryant and that situation that happened. He put $6 million and made $400 million. He's no longer with us. Still making his family money, more money than they could ever spend or imagine. And that's what I love that the game has turned into. Some of the young rappers are still faking it. But the fact that when they make it, they're making it to businesses. They're making it to put other people on. I remember once upon a time, these rappers didn't even help nobody else. It would just be about them and that's it. But now, like I said, they're opening businesses. They're putting other artists on. They're getting producers. They're making companies. And that's something we also have to applaud, not just the faking it till they make it part. Let's talk about how Drake not only made it for himself, but for his whole team to the point where
OVO.
Look, his homeboy that you don't even can't point him out of a lineup was able to buy him the Phantom that they used to split money together to get. So that's what we should be really applauding.
Shout out to the homeboy that didn't forget where this thing all started. Because, sometimes, a couple years pass by, people get real amnesia about the lifetime we live. So shout out to the homeboy that remember where everything started and was able to bless him on that situation.
Fake it till you make it. Even them filtered pictures, sis. You ain't got that BBL yet. Fake it till you know. Okay.
Toot that thing on out. Push it out, sis. Well, don't push it out, sis.
If you're
a mom, because this next story is kind of crazy, L'Oreal. Now, there is a mother out there. She has one of those very popular pages on a site that we all know called OnlyFans.
Well,
I said a mom, and her kid is still a child, and she volunteers at her kid's school. Now, she's from Florida. Her name is Victoria Snooks. She's been banned from volunteering, not getting paid, but just volunteering at her child's elementary school after they found out about her OnlyFans page from an anonymous parent, hater parent.
How you get fired from a free job?
Yeah, so she dedicated her life for the last 5 years of volunteering with her child and in this program. But another parent got wind of the fact that she has a fans only, paid, got her a subscription, went on, and she said she has two children.
You are so pressed, sis, to be doing all of that just to find out my OnlyFans page. Like, what the hell is wrong with these people?
And this mom has two kids that go to that school. She loves volunteering there. Now, her legal team said that the district's guidelines do not say anything about what a volunteer can and can't do when off campus. So she has a lawyer. Her lawyer says that she does understand that there's going to be a percentage of parents who are going to be getting into their moral arms and waging their discrimination finger, wagging it all around.
Yeah.
We don't want you around our children. That's what House
Whoa. Unpacked
is. Well, they wouldn't have known about it because you kept it away from children. It's for an adult site that's only for a subscription.
How did they find out?
Access it unless you're an adult. So do you think that she should get banned from the activities at her do you think that she should get banned from activities at her kid's school because of her private life? Would you even bother to look up a volunteer's page on OnlyFans if they went to your kid's school? Like, is it me, L'Oreal, or is this parent doing a little too much?
They clearly have an issue with her. I feel like if she's a volunteer, then that's just is what it is. If she was a teacher, that may be a little something different. Even though that's her own personal life, you know what job you chose and you know what route you took. Now, as a volunteer, of just a parent, no, because you could be a porn star and send your kids to that school. Like, how is that illegal? There's sex offenders that live in the damn area. So why, you know what I mean? Opposed to somebody that's actually out there doing that for a living. Maybe that's how she feeds her kids and able to send her to that school. The fact that you're looking, like, why are you looking? It's a paid page.
Exactly.
Kids shouldn't be accessing that. It's for adults. There's no way. I would definitely take this to court. Like,
that's why I'm glad she has an attorney. When she said her attorney said that people are going to be wagging their moral fingers. I mean, if she didn't put it properly, because that's what it is.
Well, you look like you got off in this situation. And what I mean by that is because at first she wasn't getting paid nothing. And now she about to get paid for all that free work she did for the school.
Everybody about to go to see what volunteer mom sis is
not
doing
just
over
that.
There.
Not just that. Y'all can't get rid of her for that. Like, there's nothing that says that. That's like discrimination. Like, what's wrong with you?
You know what? It's a fine line between having a moral compass and then being judgmental and dictating what other people can and cannot do.
Unless Eva, unless she's on there sleeping with kids, that'd
be something
different.
Then I get it. But if she's just being an adult, you can't tell me. For all my kids know, I'm a bottle girl at the club. Like, you can't tell me what I can and can't do. And I think
everyone has an OnlyFans.
If we have not gotten to the place and point where we are stopped being so judgmental and putting everybody in boxes and being so stereotypical, then I don't know what's going on. It's 2021, sis. I don't understand what the problem is. We can do what we want to.
What if your kids' teachers had an OnlyFans?
I wouldn't know. That's my point. They might have an OnlyFans.
Yeah, I don't get it. How did they find it?
I have 3 children. They all have teachers. And if they have an OnlyFans, I wouldn't know. I'm not on it, nor do I look to subscribe to.
Well, say you found it. Like, say it was an anonymous person and they sent it to you in your email. Would you have an issue with it?
Not particularly, only because, I mean, I have 3 kids, so obviously I do things when the lights go off too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't
know. No, you're the
where
virgin
is this
Eva.
Judge? Exactly. Immaculate conception. Like, sis, what is the problem? If you are over here like, she got a foot fetish page, how do you know? Are you looking at toes? Do you like feet cuticles? Like, what is the problem? I don't understand where the hate is coming from. I think it's really whack to take this mom out of a position to be physically a part of their kid's extracurricular.
Yeah.
And as a mom of a child that's in sports, we need all the volunteers we can get. So,
I was thinking that too.
Sis, don't do that. Don't be messing
up. You can't make it all the time. Sometimes you got to drop somebody off. Like, there's no way. It's never a shirt to Japan.
Tailgate sign up today because you done made sure that Marquise's mama can't come no more. That's irritating.
And then what is she supposed to do? What if that's literally how she feeds her family? You're going to make her choose between a living for what she does or helping her child? Or I just
and
think
is it me,
is
but are all the OnlyFans pages, they're not all explicit.
No.
Some things are people sitting there watching people eat.
Yeah, like literally.
So this is not mean that she is doing pornographic anything because she has
an OnlyFans. And if she is, that doesn't say, like, where does it say in the handbook of students that the parent can't be a porn star or a sex worker? Like,
whoa.
That's called a sex worker if you're a porn star.
Well, you're listening to the Undressing Room podcast presented by Macy. Slide over and check out our personal Macy shopping page at macy's.com/theundressingroom. Now, I have a final question.
Uh-oh.
I do. And it's not even extensive, L'Oreal. It's not elaborate. It's real simple.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, do females ever sit back and just think, I was wrong and I'm going to apologize to him. Why do you think it's sometimes harder for women to apologize? And do men apologize enough when they're wrong? What is the right or is there a right way to apologize or a wrong way to apologize? L'Oreal, I'm sure you have had some begging men. This question is to you.
So when it comes to apologies, I like to do it and get it over with. I feel like when you drag out something and you're wrong, then it makes it worse. And like, you're never really going to hear the end of it then. So you got to kind of like, if I'm wrong, this is the kind of person I am. I like to say, I'm like, all right, I was wrong. Damn, you keep talking about it. I said I was wrong. That's me, right?
Like, you just Gayle King and change the narrative.
It gotta be over quick because clearly I'm wrong, right? So who wants to sit in that? But like when you're right, of course you wouldn't be like, I told you. But I like to just sit there and look at somebody and smile. Like when you're right. You just got to look at that because they know they did wrong. And then they don't never want to say they wrong, right? So you just be looking like, I'm going to just wait for this person to say they wrong. And I think sometimes when you let it just breeze by, it bothers them more.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But do you, so when it's time for you to apologize, you do it like a scab. Like you just
how wrong am I?
W-R-O-N-G every letter. You're wrong.
Yeah, I do it like a scab. I like to rip the Band-Aid off quick and then we can start to, and then I'll like change the whole entire subject. Like,
so does it say something about someone that can't apologize or that like refuses to apologize?
Yeah, that's, you're a psychopath. Like you, because people, the crazy thing is people think that about me. They're like, yeah, right. You'll never admit you're wrong. I'm like, yes, I will. So it could be over.
You're just not wrong that much.
Yeah. I'm like, I just want it to be over. Okay. Let the wrong part go. But yeah, if there is an issue where it's like, say, I don't think I'm wrong. That's right. Where it's a little worse. If I don't think I'm wrong, I don't think there's nothing that you could do to change. But like, if I'm dead wrong, I'm just wrong. Are you good at apologizing?
I am that exception to the rule. I am. Like, if I was wrong, I'd be like, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it took so long. Or like, I'll just say what it is, because I think to err is to be human. And so I think the more honest we are with ourselves and with others about the fact that we don't have it all the way together, but like I'm well-intended and I try my best, I think people are more apt to meet you where you at. You know what I'm saying?
Very
but
true.
If you perpetuate this whole perfect idea of life, and even like when I'm wrong, and I'm like you, I'm not often wrong, but when I am wrong, I'll say like, you know what? I was dead wrong. Or, yeah, oh my goodness, like, I was, and I'll tell my husband like, baby, you know what? You were so right. I thought this, I was completely wrong. It was that. I think he respects me for being able to do that. He respects the relationship, and he's more prone to say when he's wrong in the future, because I was bold enough to say it and just lay it out there so that it's not about keeping score and always being the person in the right. I think at the end of the day, you just want the relationship to be right. So, you know,
I mean,
what I'm
saying? With certain people, I would just start laughing when I realize that I'm real wrong, like that I'll just start laughing because it's like, you know, let's just get this laugh out the way. But when it's something that's bad, like and serious. I think recently with the recent, like the guy that I date, right? Mm-hmm. I think with him, it's a little different because now it's like, he's a little more mature when it comes to certain things. Mm-hmm. And maybe even if he wasn't in his last relationship, I like how he handles things with me, because even if I'm being a little immature about something, he'll address it and he'll just be like, listen, that's not the way that you get past problems, you know? Mm. And then I'll explain to him, because this is something I've never done before either. I would have to explain to him in a sense where it's like, you know, well, with me, I need a little bit of time to work my words like get my words together. Because
y'all better have a conversation.
Yeah. So I let him know. I'd be like, you know, sometimes I say things and I really offend people, and it's not what I mean. Like, I
not
hear
you.
It, yeah, I hear things.
You?
Shut up. No, but no, for real. Like, even sometimes when I'm talking, like maybe on this podcast, I might have said something that would have offended somebody. But in my mind, I'm not saying it maliciously.
Right.
Sometimes I'm just being honest and saying my feelings. And people don't look at it like that. They think you're being nasty or whatever the case. Sometimes I listen back to things I say too, and I'm like, oh, that was kind of harsh. I didn't mean it in that manner though.
Right.
So when you take a minute before you say what you have to say, especially
now,
when you have anger issues or you have problem, like where it's a problem arising, I think you do have to take a minute back. But everybody doesn't work that way. They want to address it immediately.
Well, see, so, no, each person's different. And I think what you just described, first of all, can I just say, we can go ahead and end the podcast right here, because with this revelation today, you are in a mature, happy, constructive, healthy relationship, because you just explained.
I'm not in a relationship. I said
situationship.
Okay.
But you are in a healthy, if it does turn into a relationship, you're creating a foundation for something proper. Communication.
Yes.
Like having fight or flight is not a problem, but having a partner that knows how to deal with it is really what you need. So
it was so fire, super mature.
I love it. I love it.
And it was like, that was my approach, but I needed a second. And two, I wanted to basically show him what he was doing to me that made me feel away. So what I did was I gave him a little taste of his own medicine and he didn't like it. It was like first, it couldn't have been not even a minute past when he's like, no, I don't like that. I don't like that. And I'm like, oh, so you can see the problem then, but you doing it. And he didn't look at it like that. Like, just like when we say things that we don't mean in a certain way, but you take it, you know, it's just dope that you can have those conversations and come to a happy medium or understanding instead of somebody being upset. I was always in a toxic relationship.
No, it's so healthy. Like, that is what you need. You don't have to be perfect. He doesn't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Y'all just need to work it out and work with each other. And that takes communication. That takes honesty. That takes, I'm sorry. That takes a apology sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, that step back, like you said. And you could, you know, show him, but it's the way that you show him. It's the tact. And
you look at your face.
I am so proud of you. Listen, Undressing Room family, my baby is about to get into this cuffing season.
Oh my God, girl.
I am so excited. If y'all didn't know, you're listening to the Undressing Room podcast. It's
still single until married, though.
Well, you might have a final question for us to undress. And if you do, be sure to go ahead and follow us on Instagram at The Undressing Room Podcast and DM us like they do in L'Oreal's DMs, like men and women do it all the time. Just slide in the DM and you can be featured. Hey, listen, you stay right there in the middle, L'Oreal. You right where I need you to be, sis. I'm
annoying. So why is that? I'm not telling you anything else on here.
Oh, listen, it's okay. Can you tell the people who they listening to? Tell them what's going
on. You are listening to the Undressing Room Podcast presented by Macy's. Log on to theundressingroompod.com for episodes and links to our personal Macy's shopping page, and we're gonna get out of here. We love you guys.
Yes, we love you. You guys, you see, you hear this in L'Oreal. Y'all hear it. Love is in the air.
Just texted me, do I want him or this podcast? Because I didn't answer his phone call. It was a joke.
Tell him I'm done. He can have me. Tell him I'm done. He need to stay. You let him know. I'm a sharer. Let him know. I will hold us down. I got us. Macy's on trip. We gonna do what we need to do. Send L'Oreal back to her man.
Oh my God. I don't have a man.
Okay, so see, what you're doing right now is just what Jay Ellis did on a podcast a little while ago. That's exactly what Jay Ellis did.
Yeah!
You getting us? You give me real Lawrence right now.
L'Oreal Hive.
You just did it real hard. Three times. I don't have no man. I don't have no man. See?
I don't want to jinx anything.
That's okay. I'm going to pray for it.
Bye.
I'm y'all up in prayer. Bye.
You're annoying.
The Undressing Room Podcast, presented by Macy's, is an Urban One Reach Media production, hosted by the one, the only, Eva Marcille and L'Oreal.
Executive produced by Kobe Cope Tyner. Associated producer Alexis Felder. Editing and production by Dunkus. Sales and corporate partnership, Josh Romani, Michelle Marino, and Kadisha Campbell. Research, Lori Hall Flowers. Digital marketing, Sam Stiers, J.R. Davis, Aaliyah Foss, and Tim Hall. Digital creative, Alvin Francis.
Content provided by MadamNoir.com, Bossom.com, and HipHopWire.com. Stay connected at TheUndressingRoomPod.com. See you at the next episode.